Amen. Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. I appreciate that song, and again, it goes right along the line of my thought. Amen. And I don't think that I'm going to preach to you. I think I'm just going to exhort you a few minutes, just a little bit. Exhort you on a thought here. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And Peter's winding down this first epistle that he'd written. And there's some familiar parts of it, some familiar things that we think of, but I think that are fitting that hit us right here. I told them in the prayer room that I still unsettled as to where I was going tonight. Being Sunday night, you would think I'd do the duties of husbands and wives. Be honest with you, I've got enough of a load. It'd be better if the Lord would help us not to add more to it, but help us relieve it a little bit. And so that's the direction that I believe that this will be. And so I'll try to mind the Lord and just show you some things here in the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1, and we'll just read down a few verses. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Now here comes his advice to those elders. It's the preachers he's talking to. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now that was his advice to the elders, the leaders in the church. Verse number 5, he starts talking to the younger ones. "Likewise." So that word "likewise" means in the same vein, because Jesus is coming, be an example. That's what he just said to the older, the elders, be an example because Jesus is coming. So likewise, verse 5, "Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Here's that phrase we know so well. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." But look at the next verse. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So here's this writing of the Apostle Peter, and he's saying, elders, be an example to the flock. Jesus is coming. Younger ones, likewise, he says, be an example. Humble yourself. Be submissive to the elders. And then he says, don't be proud. Be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud. And if you have any problems, cast them on Jesus. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then he tells you, what's the major problem of the world? It's sin. It's Satan. It's that there is an evil one out in the world today. So he says, be careful, be sober, be vigilant. He's seeking after. But look at verse number 10. "But, in spite of the fact there's a devil out there, there's also a God. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Just a short exhortation to you concerning this text, primarily verse number 7. That's the verse that's on my heart. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I started saying about that song that it's, or those songs that were sung before, that it's not just emotions. You know, it's not just our sadness, but there's a spiritual element to it, that God is concerned about what we're concerned about. And that it's not just like laying on the psychiatrist's couch and telling them your troubles. But we got somebody a lot bigger and better. Matter of fact, all the psychiatrists can do primarily is listen. Matter of fact, they say that's what most people need, just somebody to listen to them. Well, we got a big God in heaven that's able and willing to listen. Amen. But more than that, He can do more than just listen. He can do more. You don't just tell Him your troubles, you can give Him your troubles. You can tell me, but I can't take them into my hands. And here's a thought I'm traveling on in my mind about with the message I preached this morning. You look at decisions people make, and it grieves me. It angers me. It disturbs me at the decisions that people make, especially knowing the past and what they have heard, what they know, what they should have heard, what they should know. I'll tell you where it really rubber meets the road is when some of those are your relatives. I mean, you can just say, well, they're going the wrong way. But when it's your child, when it's your grandchild, when it's your loved one, when it's your friend, when it's a family that's dear to you, what do you do then? You can't just write them off. You got to keep on loving them. So what do you do then? Well, here's what the Bible says. Give it to Jesus. We sing that song, tell it to Jesus. That's right. But this is more than telling it to Him. This is handing it off. In a connotation, if I could use it this way, in a connotation of a football game, it's giving the ball to them, letting them run with it a while. You've gone as far as you can go. You can't go anymore. Hand it off to somebody else. And that somebody else is Jesus. Amen. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. That's a humbling thing. Because most of us like to think, I can handle it. I'm strong enough in myself. That's what we like to think. That I can handle it. But it's a humbling thing to admit, Lord, not only do they need some help, but I need some help coping with this thing. I need some help keeping my feet under me and myself standing right. Amen. I need some help keep going on and just telling Him the truth and giving Him the problem. Here's why He said do that. Casting all your care upon Him. I like this. For He careth for you. Not just because He can do something about it. He can. You care about them and He cares about you. Amen. You say, I don't know if they're saved or not. No, but you know about you and Him. You're His child. And He cares about you. And so whatever that trouble is, I'm glad God's given us, even though there's a devil, there's a God. Even though there's trouble. And truth is, trouble's going to come even to the child of God. Trouble's going to invade our home. Trouble's going to invade our family. Trouble's going to invade our little comfort zone. Trouble's going to happen. There's a God in heaven that we can crawl up to. And I don't just mean you know, that to crawl up in his lap. But I'm talking about we can bow before our King. And we can not only recognize Him as our Lord and our King, we can call on Him as our Father. Because that's exactly what He is. He's our Father. He's a Father to the fatherless. All in the Bible, He talks about the fatherless and the widows. As a matter of fact, I just finished reading Deuteronomy in my daily Bible reading. That's what I preached on this morning. But I just finished Deuteronomy. And I was amazed again, Brother Hall. And I was looking back and God was reminding me in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Talks about the Moabites. He said, the Moabites are not allowed into my congregation for 10 generations. That's Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 24, he says, now when you're reaping your field, don't reap it all. He said, if you leave the corners, and if you leave a sheaf in the field, don't go back and get it. Because he said, I want you to remember somebody. Who you remember? You remember the stranger. You remember the fatherless. And you remember the widow. And there's a God in heaven that cares about downtrodden people. Amen. There's a God in heaven that cares about forgotten people. Amen. There's a God in heaven that cares about uncared for people. Amen. Now he's not talking about, he's not talking about handout, he's not talking about welfare. Amen. But he is talking about caring for them, that they've got an opportunity that they can get something from God. Amen. And I know I preached it here years ago about Ruth. And when I read that, it reminded me again of that. That's why I referenced Brother Hall. I know he would remember it. When I read in Deuteronomy 23, no Moabite, I think, well, Ruth. And then I read the next chapter and he says, but you know, I've got a concern for some strangers. You don't get much stranger than a Moabite. And I got a little concern for the widows. And that's what Ruth was. And I got a concern for the fatherless, and maybe Ruth fit that bill as well, because Naomi said, go back to your mother's house. She didn't say, go back to your father's house. And it's almost as if God said, you know, I'm going to make some provision even for people that are against me and that I've been against. I'm going to make some provision for them. Now here's what they got to do. They got to get to the right place, to the right field where that has been left on purpose for them. Those handfuls of purpose. They got to get in the right field. Ruth had to come out of Moab. Amen. She had to make that journey. She didn't know what she was going for, but she got there to the right place at the right time, and there's a God in heaven was smiling the whole time. Amen. While Ruth was making her way to the field that happened to be Boaz's field, amen, and God had already made provision for her. Now here's why I'm saying all that. I'm thinking about those people. They're out there that are making wrong decisions and doing wrong things, and maybe one day, by the grace of God, I know God's angry at some of the stuff going on, but maybe, in the grace of God, the next chapter, God will say, you know what, I might drop a handful in a field somewhere, and our job is to pray, Lord, let them get the word in the far country that God's visited His people again and given them bread. And Lord, help us pray that they'll find themselves in the right field. And it don't have to be here. It could be somewhere else. But it's the right field where God drops the handful of purpose on their behalf. Amen. And I'm glad that we can tell God our troubles. And we can crawl up in an altar. We can crawl up in a secret place. We can bow our head and tell the Lord our troubles. And not just tell Him, but give them to Him. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. That's my exhortation for tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, dear God, for the Spirit of God that takes the Word and anoints it and uses it. Lord, I pray You do it again tonight. This is just simple thought, no outline, no body of message, no sermon, so to speak, but Lord, a thought. And I'm glad, Lord, that You care about us. I'm glad, dear God, that just like we love people that are making wrong decisions and doing wrong things, Lord, You love us. And You'll be there for us if we'll cast our care upon You. Lord, I pray, help them, help us to humble ourselves, to admit we need help, and to call on our God in the time of need. Help us, dear God, to trust You with it. That casting it means turning loose of it, not hanging on to it. I really believe, Lord, that casting it's not just a momentary thing. I believe it's saying, Lord, I'm going to take my hands off of it. It's Yours. I'm going to trust You with it. Help us there, Lord, and You get the glory. Would You help folks, Lord, tonight in the invitation time to surrender to You, to give it over to You, and to trust You. Lord, You receive honor. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come, you obey the Lord while we sing.